Well, thanks everyone who is still with us in the room. I know about 50 folks are watching online, and you are all about to get your ethics credit. Yay, which we all, of course, need. I get to introduce to you Parker Hancock. If you are looking on your agenda, you will see that he was going to have a co-presenter. Actually, my colleague, Peter Hansen, and I had a full-blown Spider-Man joke for Peter Parker. But unfortunately, Peter came down with a pretty bad bug, so he's not here. But Parker is going to go solo like the superhero that he is. Kind of works. But let me just tell you a little bit about him, because he's definitely the guy for this presentation. He was recommended by judges who saw him do something similar. So, you know, they tend to be quite discerning. So he came highly recommended. He is a technology and IP lawyer in the Houston office of Baker Botts. His principal area of practice is technology litigation with a focus on IP, cybersecurity, and AI governance issues. He's also an experienced patent litigator and patent prosecutor. Interesting to me is that he is the author and maintainer of the Patent Client, which is the most popular Python library for assessing intellectual property data at the USPTO and the European Patent Office. I think that means he's highly credible with all of these tech issues, and let's get some ethics credit.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here today. So just to give you sort of a little bit of a roadmap for where we're going to go today, some of the statistics that I've seen in terms of how many lawyers are actually familiar with AI technology and how it works are shockingly low. So kind of what we're going to do here today is we're going to do a quick little AI 101, tell you a little bit of the story of how we got to where we are today, go through the ethical considerations of using generative AI technologies in the practice of law, and then conclude with a little bit of thoughts on where things are headed over the next 3 to 5 years. So that's kind of our roadmap for what we're going to do today. So, and just in case you hadn't noticed, all of the cover artwork for this is also generated by AI, and if you'd like to reproduce it, I've left the prompt in the bottom right-hand corner. So first, let's start off with what exactly is artificial intelligence, at least as we're using that term today. So it can mean a lot of different things, but really what we're talking about is this idea of a large language model. And to give you an example of it, what is currently possible, I wanted to show you a quick video from Google's recent I/O conference about a large language model that is multimodal, which means it can take in images and audio and video as well as text, just so you can get a feel for kind of the level of technology that we're talking about. So let's see if this works.
Okay, let's do some tests. Tell me when you see something that makes sound.
I see a speaker which makes sound.
What is that part of the speaker called?
That is the tweeter. It produces high frequency sounds.
Give me a creative alliteration about these.
Creative crayons color cheerfully. They certainly craft colorful creations.
What does that part of the code do?
This code defines encryption and decryption functions. It seems to use AES-CBC encryption to encode and decode data based on a key and an initialization vector, IV.
That's right. What neighborhood do you think I'm in?
This appears to be the King's Cross area of London. It is known for its railway station and transportation connections.
Do you remember where you saw my glasses?
Yes, I do. Your glasses were on the desk near a red apple.
What can I add here to make this system faster?